John 7.
John 7, I
entitled the message, Christ's Worldview. Christ's Worldview. In looking at John 7, we'll start in verse 3 and read through verse 6. John 7, 3 through 6. The Bible says, His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. When you look at that, it talks about Christ's brethren. One of the things that happens in religion is there are many claims made. Some claims are that Mary had no other children besides Jesus, but the Bible talks about her firstborn, which is Jesus, and it talks about his brothers and sisters. So she had other children. Matthew 13, 55 says this, Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? You see, there was a teaching by Jerome in the 4th century in support of the superiority of the virginity by teaching the perpetual virginity of Mary. It's a false doctrine. There's nothing in the Bible that indicates that Mary didn't have other children. In fact, it indicates that she did have other children. It's right to be right about the Bible. You may look at things like that and say, well, you know, you're just picking, and maybe I am. I'm picking at false doctrine that leads people to think that you can pray to a human being and a billion people can be heard by that human being because that's what religion says. Nobody can hear your prayers apart from God. That's just the way it's designed. Now, I say that maybe God, I've wondered at times, that does God limit it to, you know, one person? Maybe there's somebody that's died and they can hear one person speak at a time, but I don't believe that there's this worldwide thing where or universal thing where Mary can hear all the prayers. Hey, John, can you go ahead and... No. So that's the teaching. That's the Bible. And we must first and foremost be biblical. If you're not biblical, then you get into problems and you get into areas where false doctrine is permeated. Listen, if there are people praying to Mary, can you imagine if that's a waste of time? Can you imagine if you thought that doing the rosary, Hail Mary, full of grace, and you go through that rosary, and the Bible talks about not having repetitious prayers as the heathen do, they'll think they'll be heard through their much speaking. God wants to hear from your heart. You don't need to memorize a prayer. Even, you know, oh, you know, our Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name, you know, the Lord's Prayer type of thing. Listen, it's okay to do that if you want to every now and then, but don't make that your primary prayer. I remember we were playing football and you know, the coach would say, all right, let's all get on one knee and let's have a word of prayer. And it was always that prayer. Well, everybody at least knew how to pray with them. You know, I don't know that any of us understood anything that it said. I know I didn't. I had really not much of a clue. And that's okay for those types of things. But listen, when you have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, you ought to pray like you have an intimate relationship. You ought to pray to the Lord as though you know Him. Because if you don't know Him, then it'll come out in your prayer life. It'll come out because you don't talk to Him like you would if you had this personal, intimate relationship. And that's what you need to have. The motive for inviting Jesus to go, you notice they said, hey, yeah, man, if I was the one doing all these miracles, I'd make sure everybody knew. I'd make sure everybody saw it. You realize that Jesus would come secretly into a city? He would heal somebody and say, now don't go and tell anybody. Why did He do that? Well, one of the reasons was that wasn't why He was here. He did not come to heal the sick and make the blind see. That was not the purpose, other than it being a testimony and the fact that He's God on earth. God on earth, what's going to happen? Well, you go to a funeral, it's going to break up. Why? Because you're God manifest in the flesh. You see a blind man, that blind man is going to see because you're God on this earth. That's just the way it is. And also as a testimony against Israel. You know, Israel's promised never to have sickness if they would just abide by the law. Never have sickness. Sickness was a testimony against them for their sin. It was a testimony against them. Look at Proverbs 18, the 18th proverb. The 18th proverb says, though, verse 1, through desire a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. You know, sometimes it's good to be separated. Sometimes it's good, you know, just to get alone. Sometimes it's really bad to want the focus on you, the limelight. I know a lot of people, and, you know, I used to travel all over the place, and, you know, sometimes anonymity would be fine. I used to, when we would travel and I just determined I wasn't going to preach that week, we would wait till the last minute, like most of you do when you come to church. We would we did it intentionally. We would wait till the last minute and come in the church because I just wanted to sit down and hear the preacher preach. If he knew me, I didn't want him to know that, you know, then afterwards I might introduce myself, but that was about it. But I like that anonymity every now and then. I like to hear preaching when, you know, he didn't even... Now, generally, you walk in a suit and tie, they always assume you're a preacher. And something about carrying a pretty good-sized Bible will do it when you got a beautiful wife that looks like a preacher's wife. I mean, that's the dead giveaway right there. I mean, what I should have done was let Judy come in about 10 minutes late, and then I wouldn't have a problem. Or when you have two hellions that are with... That was our children... No, they were pretty well behaved most of the time. I remember I hit my knee against the one of those pews. I remember one time Justin was acting up. I'd had enough. I said, "Out!" And he goes out. It's a short pew. He goes out that way, and I go out the other way. And my knee hits that leg coming down. I still remember the pain of that. He didn't have near as much pain as I had that day. Turn to Matthew 23. Let me show you about motives. They said, look, if you know, you need to show yourself to your brethren. You need to show yourself to your disciples. They actually said, you need to show yourself to the world. We're going to look at the world in John 17 eventually. But in Matthew 23:5, it's all about motive. The Bible says, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. So that's what they were doing. Their works were to be seen of men. One of the things you have to guard against in ministry is not doing anything for to be seen of men. It doesn't mean you got to hide it. It doesn't mean, well, you know, I'm gonna, you know, give this money and I've got to just sort of slip it in the plate. That's pride too sometimes. In other words, it's not that nobody can know what you're doing. It's like fasting. You know, well, I can't tell you I'm fasting because the Bible says. No, you can tell somebody when they ask you over to eat and you say, no, I'm not going to come over. Or if I come over, I'm not going to eat any of your food. You know, why? Well, because you're fasting. You know, in other words, you can tell people that. It's a matter of motive. Look at Matthew 6, and we'll start in verse 1. Matthew 6. And let's look at this thing about motive. Verse 1 says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to what? To be seen of them. Can you do your alms before men? Yes. Can people know? By the way, one of the greatest times I've ever seen in giving to the church was when all of it was public one time. Eddie Mills, I may have told you this, Eddie Mills was going to the mission field and he bought a truck from his father, mortgaged his house, gave it to another missionary in Mexico, Roger Bowman. Eddie was just submitting to go to China. And he went forward and he said that, and you know, he now had a $13,000 mortgage on the truck, and he's donating the truck. All of it was public. All of a sudden, throughout the church, I'll give $500, I'll give $1,000, I'll give $200, I'll give $500. Within 5 minutes, we'd raised the $13,000 and paid off his mortgage. Why? Do you think people were just doing it to be seen of men? Maybe one, maybe two, maybe ten. That doesn't matter to God or to you. That's between the individual and God. But the point is, that thing happened and God was glorified, and a missionary was able to get to the field in 2 months because he didn't have that mortgage. In other words, he went and he did what God told him to do. Now it was up to us in the audience to do what we're supposed to do. It wasn't that nobody, oh, well, you know, hey, psh, don't you say out loud that you're going to give money. Don't you do that. You sit down. You don't say anything. No. Get up. Give. Dr. Noe was the preacher at the time, and he said, man, we had God we had God indebted, and it was, you know, tongue in cheek for 5 minutes. But that was it. You can't outgive God. Amen. Verse 1 again, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. The whole thing about rewards is motive. Verse 2, therefore, when thou seest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Let thine alms, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father, which seest in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seest in secret, shall reward thee openly. Can you pray in public? Sure. Should you pray in secret? You should, and you better. And it's very important to do that. But it doesn't mean you can, because this verse is in here, it doesn't, you know, the whole point is there in verse 5, that they may be seen of men. What's the motive? To be seen of them, verse 1. Sounding a trumpet. That's why they're doing it. And that's the sin. The sin is not that nobody can know. And if anybody knows what you've done, it's a sin. No, the sin is all about motive. Why do you do what you do? And that's it. Look at Luke 16. Luke 16. Many people seek to be known. That's what they were telling Jesus to do. In Luke 16, 15, he rebukes that. He said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Esteemed, valued, estimated, highly valued, or prized on account of worth, thought, or held in opinion. They justify themselves before men. That's all about motive. It is always important to question yourself, why do I do what I do? If you'll do that, and you'll be honest with yourself, because it's one of the hardest things to do, really, many times, to be honest with yourself, to be honest with others, but if you'll be honest, God will bless you openly. John 5:44. Well, go ahead and turn to John 5 because we're going to go to John 5 and John 7 and John 12. John 5:44. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? So they receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only. So in other words, is it wrong to honor one another? Look at the context. and seek not the honor that cometh from God only. You ought to seek the honor that cometh from God. What if somebody honors you? That's okay. That's okay. It's okay to appreciate, and I think I mentioned that the other day, and, you know, Hollick came up and said, "Man, I don't want you to be lifted up with pride, but that was a mighty big tuna you caught." I said, "Yeah, it was a mighty nice fishing pole you lent me." Listen, it's all about motive. It's all about motive. Everything's about motive. John 7, look at verse 18. John gave me a knife, and I had to say, "John, man, I don't want you to get lifted up with pride, but that's a mighty sharp knife." No, I just said, "Thank you." Literally, I know somebody that every time he spoke from the pulpit, "I don't want you to get lifted up with pride, but..." And then there was another preacher there at lunch one time, and he said, "Man, do you say that to your wife?" You know, that was pretty blunt. John 7, verse 18, "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. And you say, well, I can't tell anybody I caught it. You know, Robert went out and caught this monster of a fish. I mean, you know, it wouldn't even fit in the cooler. Oh, Robert, you can't tell anybody about that fish. Why? You're seeking your own glory. You see how ridiculous it can be? And he was. What I did was I took a picture of it. We made sure the tail was sticking out the end. Somebody says, "Well, you need to push that tail," and it's like, "No, it won't fit." That's the point. That's how big it was. Listen, the whole point is why do you do what you do? And you can get so caught up in trying to be so humble that you're prideful of your humility.
Yes, sir. There you go.
So what do? Just look at yourself and be yourself, as long as yourself's right with God, and check your motives, whatever it is. Look at John 12. John 12. Now, again, context. I'm going to give you this one. I want you to think about what it says. Verse 43. "For they love the praise of men." Oh, you wicked sinner, you love the praise of men. Who doesn't love the praise of men? Look at the context. What's the next word? More than the praise of God. In other words, the problem is all about priority. Well, I'm not concerned about the praise of God. All I'm concerned about is the praise of men. Well, then you have your reward. All about motive, all about context. And you and I'd stay out of a lot of trouble if we would just look at the context, consider the context, and not be judging everybody all the time for everything they say, thinking, "Oh, they're so proud." Oh, no, it's if somebody likes the praise of men more than the praise of God, it's wicked. What if they like the praise of men? It's not sin in and of itself. It's all about balance. It's all about focus. It's all about... And listen, we would have a whole lot simpler life if we read everything in context and considered it. We have people that judging people, saying, "Boy, you better never say anything good to anybody else. I appreciate what you did. I appreciate what you said. I appreciate this or I appreciate that." Listen, that's why we have a society and a church where nobody verbally appreciates anything. We need to appreciate one another. I appreciate the fact that I know many of you went out to the hospital and visited somebody in the hospital. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate that. Is it wrong for me to appreciate that? No. It's all about context. It's all about context. Just so you know, we were going to go to the hospital, and Judy must have eaten some pills on an empty stomach. We didn't know for sure what it was, but she got sick. And so we're like, can't go anywhere. Just she got sick. That's all I'm saying. She didn't feel well. I'm not going to tell you what happened. Never mind. I so want to say something. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's look there. So we didn't go to the hospital until today. And see, you know, we're not going to put out a prayer request. Hey, Judy had an empty stomach and ate, some vitamins, and, you know, now she's not feeling well. You know, I mean, you know, we could, but why would we do that? Well, because we don't want anybody judging us that we didn't go to the hospital. Then we're more worried about what you think than what God thinks. It's a vicious circle. 2 Corinthians 10, look at verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. So don't be comparing yourselves with each other. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. Comparing yourselves among yourselves. That's the problem. We do not need to be guilty of that. Look at Romans 10. Romans 10 talks about the judgment seat of Christ. And it's very eye-opening. Romans 14:10 says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died." In other words, the warning is, look, we're all going to give an account of ourselves to God. So don't think that you have to give an account to everybody else for what you do. That isn't Christianity. That's religion. Religion is control. Put you under my thumb. Tell you what to do. Tell you what to think. Tell you how to act. That is not what Christianity is supposed to be. Now, if I tell you, you ought to have the mind of Christ, am I telling you what to think? Yes. So there's a balance. In other words, you know, you shouldn't think wicked thoughts. Am I telling you what to not think? Sure, I am. But I'm not telling you and controlling you. I am biblical in my words and in what I'm saying. The problem is, what happens is we go outside the parameters of the Bible, and that's when you start getting into control. You don't need to be controlled by me. You need to be controlled by the Spirit of God that lives within you. You need to be controlled by the Bible and the Word of God. You need to be controlled by God Himself, not by the pastor. And you don't need to be looking, oh, I need to please the pastor. No, you need to please God and God first. Now, let's just hope it's this way. If you seek to please God, you'd please the pastor. You seek to please God, you'll please your spouse. You seek to please God, you'll please your parents. That's the way it's supposed to be. But always it's to please God, and the outlying thing is you're pleasing others at the same time. Turn to John 17, and I want to give you one more verse, Ecclesiastes 12:14, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." God is going to bring everything into judgment. I told you the message is called Christ's Worldview. I want to give you John 17 overview a little bit. I want you to notice what Jesus says about the world. We'll just start in verse 5. "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." So he had stepped out of glory, heaven, and he had given up some of his glory. That's why you could look at him, because if you looked at God, you would die. So he didn't come down here in all his glory. He's saying, glorify me. Give me the glory that I had with you before the world was. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. He gave these people to Jesus out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Look at verse 9. I pray for them. That's these people that were given to him. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. You know, you look at the world right now and you say, well, we got to pray for the world. Well, not really. You can pray for the world. But he prayed specifically for believers. You need to pray for believers. And yes, you can pray for the world in a different context than what this is speaking of here. Look at verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, because they were staying behind. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He spoke those things so that people could have fulfillment in joy. 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. You know why the world will hate you? Because you have his word. I said something about Mary. There are a billion people that would hate what I said about Mary not being a perpetual virgin. But it's God's word. What do? You say, well, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't be specific. No, we need to be specific. You need to know that there are errors out there, and it's wrong for you to pray for it to anybody but Jesus. That goes for the so-called saints, too. You got a St. Christopher medal? It's not going to protect you. You got a scapula you wear? If you don't know what that is, it's a religious thing to protect you. I mean, it muddies the waters. You know where my protection is? Jesus Christ. You know my protection? Prayer. You know my protection? You praying for me. Me praying for you. Now what's going to... What? You don't need to pray for me. I got a scapula on. I got a St. Christopher medal, man. Look at this. Look at this medal right here. You know? I'm okay. No, you're not. So what do? You try to help people to see the truth. Look at 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You know Jesus' worldview? It wasn't for world peace. Unless glory to God in the highest first. Then peace on earth, goodwill to men. Always glory to God in the highest. The problem today is they're trying to get the cart before the horse. People want peace, but they don't glorify God. I'm reading a book and finishing it up, and we've just won the revolution. And it is amazing what George Washington said when they had some of their greatest defeats, how he trusted God. And how the victories were won, it is just astounding how God worked. They called him Providence, it's just amazing to read those stories. I don't read a whole lot outside the Bible or, you know, if I'm studying a particular subject, but I like this book. And I'm getting ready for tomorrow night. So I'm asking you to pray for tomorrow night. I've changed it to my poems a little more politically not correct, but politically enticing, I guess you'd say. But let's all stand together.